You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen. Human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of the space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Darnold escapes, trying to buy himself some time. Fires end zone. It's caught. Incredible play by Darnold.
He'll hit immediately.
He got the handoff.
You know what?
The Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter, at PlayLikeAJet1. And we're going to start doing some early draft coverage because, obviously, the Jets have a lot of draft capital, so this is going to be a very important offseason. We should know exactly where these players are at in terms of stock and who we should be keeping an eye on. So to help us do that, you hear him every week doing his stock reports, but now we're going to do a full show based around the stock report. Mr. Charlie Campbell, senior draft analyst over at WalterFootball.com. Charlie, thanks so much for coming on, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Great to be with you.
So let's start with the quarterback situation. The two big guys, of course, are Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, but then you've got Wilson over at BYU. Talk to me a little bit about what you saw from these guys and where their stock has gone over the past week, plus what you're hearing talking to different decision makers in the NFL.
Well, you know, I think both of the top guys have just, I mean, we only have one game from Justin Fields, but he played well in that opener against Nebraska. He showed he's making progress in terms of operating out of the pocket, handling the blitz, that kind of thing. He still needs to show some improvement in terms of speeding up the process, working through his reads faster. But he's throwing the ball accurately, has good timing and precision and anticipation on his throws. He's been really adept, you know, using his feet when he had to, not doing it too much. He had 15 carries, so he'd probably want to cut that down a little bit. But at any rate, he really had an excellent start to the season. Lawrence didn't have his best game against Syracuse, throwing the first pick six of his career, but he still showed plenty of reason why he's held in such high regard. The big arm, the ability to throw the ball accurately, deep downfield, just the pocket presence and all the complete skill set that every team could look for in a franchise quarterback. So both of those guys, I think, as these games progress, are just only going to serve to confirm the high expectations, the high grade, and the high projection. And Wilson's really played well for BYU. They haven't had the toughest schedule yet. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the consistency, reveals itself as we get further into the season and this limited season. But he's definitely thrown the ball well this year. I think Kyle Trask at Florida has thrown the ball really well this year. He's a big, thick pocket passer, big arm, accurate. The big knock on him is just that he's a statue in terms of teams feel. He doesn't have the mobility that they'd like to see out of a quarterback. But some teams, it won't bother them too much. So I think all those guys are really off to helping themselves this season.
What about wide receiver? Jalen Waddle was one of the guys that everybody thought could climb all the way up to the top of the draft boards. But now, obviously, with the injury, he may slide a little bit. Nobody knows exactly what's going on with Waddle. What do you expect that injury to do in terms of his stock? And who are some of the other wide receivers that helped and hurt their stock over the weekend?
Well, you know, Waddle definitely is kind of up in the air now with this season ending, you know, high ankle sprain injury that's requiring surgery. So obviously it's pretty serious. But given the timetable here that we're still only in October, perhaps he can work out before, you know, get rehab through and work out before the draft and show that amazing speed, and he still ends up going you know, in the top 20. But if the injury has more lingering concerns and he can't work out and or there's setbacks in it, then I could maybe see him sliding and being in that discussion of late in the first round. Maybe the Jets can have a shot at him with their pick from Seattle. But definitely at this point, him going top 16 is taking a real hit, or top 10. But, you know, we'll just have to see. We've seen injured players still rise through the pre-draft process, and we've seen some guys fall really low. So it's really going to depend on the nature of the injury and how the rehab and pre-draft workouts play out. But as far as other receivers go, you know, Devontae Smith from Alabama didn't have a huge game. They didn't need him to against Tennessee. But he's really just a superb football player. That guy is just a pure football player, just an excellent route running, hands, yards after the catch, does everything well, blocks, unselfish player, really good, just NFL ready to step on the field and contribute right away. The only knock on him is being, you know, more thin-framed, not having size, that team prototypical size for the NFL. So that's definitely something that's hurting him in terms of how high he could go. If he was 20 pounds heavier, he'd probably be a top 10 pick. But because of his weight, he's going to end up going in the back half of the first round. So he'd be a really good candidate for the Jets. Chris Olave, the wide receiver from Ohio State, had his season debut. He made some nice plays, ran well, showed his quickness, got open, can generate separation. But he also had a few balls get away from him from some hard hits downfield that he didn't hang on to when landing hard on the ground, including a touchdown. Kind of got dinged up and had to see the trainers. And given that he's listed at 185, you have that similar kind of concern about durability and holding up in the NFL. Smith has really shown that over the course of a few years here at Alabama, whereas Olave last year was really his debut and an excellent one for Ohio State. But you'd like to see receivers that aren't the biggest of guys string together seasons of durability. So, you know, while he, maybe this guy isn't the biggest guy, he's not one to miss time. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch with Olave here in the weeks to come. I thought Terrace Marshall played well yesterday. He's helping himself this season, the wide receiver from LSU. And Rashad Bateman was solid against Michigan. They did a good job of defending him. He has some quality size to him, but he's not super explosive or twitchy. And you could kind of see that against Michigan. So that's why I think the hype on him may have been a little over enthusiastic. So well, it'll be interesting to see what he does in the weeks to come here. But I think Bateman might be more of that day two caliber receiver.
Charlie, the Jets drafted Mekhi Becton at number 11, and he's played very well so far in his rookie year. But they could still use some help along the offensive line. They also drafted LaMichael Perine in the fourth round, but that doesn't mean that they're precluded from drafting a running back. Who are some of the offensive linemen and running backs that Jets fans should be paying attention to right now? And who helped and hurt their stock over the weekend?
Well, Wyatt Davis, the guard from Ohio State, had overall a really nice game against Nebraska. He is just a pure bull in the ground game, just mauls guys up front, really does a nice job of generating movement at the point of attack. So he's that power right guard type to run behind in the NFL. He was part of giving up a sack against Nebraska, was a little late to react on a stunt. So he's going to still need some development in terms of pass protection, but the skill set is there. He's big, he's strong, he's got good athleticism and quickness for a 6'4", 315 guard. So he could definitely be in play for that late one, early two pick, those two picks that the Jets have there. Jalen Mayfield, the right tackle from Michigan, had a really nice game in his season opener against Minnesota. Minnesota really was ineffective in terms of getting anything going against Mayfield, and Mayfield popped some huge lanes for some big runs for the Wolverines. Trey Smith, the guard from Tennessee, he really played well against Alabama this past week. He opened up some holes at the point of attack. Was solid in pass protection. He definitely has starting potential. Big guard, could play right guard or left guard in the NFL. Has played some tackle, but his natural position is guard. So I think tackle would only be a pinch or game day emergency kind of situation, but you could maybe get away with it if you had to. But really, he could be a really solid guard in the NFL. So he could be a guy that the Jets could target on day two. So those are three guys that I would recommend Jets fans check out here in the weeks to come for those picks, that late one, early two, and down into their early third.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Charlie, let's talk a little defense. Two positions that the Jets are going to need to upgrade majorly are edge rusher and cornerback. Talk to me a little bit about some of the guys that you've been keeping an eye on and who's been lifting their stock over the last couple of weeks. Last week you mentioned J.C. Horn of South Carolina, the son of Joe Horn, who was a really good receiver for the Saints for many years. Did Horn continue to boost his stock, and who else should we look at in terms of edge rusher and corner?
Well, I didn't see all of the South Carolina LSU game, so I don't know how he played in all of it. I did see part of it, and I know LSU rubbed a pick rub route on him and had a short touchdown pass, but it really wasn't a play that you can, ding Horn too much on, because it should have been a penalty given the rules these days. But Horn definitely has starting potential for the NFL. He's big, he's long, he's got speed, he's instinctive, really tough competitor. You see the bloodlines coming through with the way Joe Horn was as a competitor with the Saints. So really nice player, and I think he's ascending and he's rising. The Florida offense has been putting up ridiculous points this year, and Horn was really the only defensive back I've seen that kind of held his own going against Kyle Pitts, their playmaking tight end, and Kadarius Toney, their speedster wide receiver, who's a big-time playmaker. So Horn really did the best job of defending those guys of any defensive back I've seen. He played well in that one. And otherwise at corner, I think Patrick Surtain, you saw the good and the bad with him against Tennessee. He had a bunch of pass breakups downfield. He also gave up a touchdown. He's a big corner. He has some limitations in terms of just being a quick twitch guy. He has enough speed to run downfield, but he's not lightning fast. So that's why he's more of, you know, a cornerback that's a mid to late first round prospect, even into the second round, rather than being a top 10 Patrick Peterson, Jeff Okuda type corner. He doesn't have that kind of speed or twitch. So that's why Surtain would be down there. But those are definitely good corners for Jets to keep an eye on here for those picks late one, early two. And then edge rush, I thought we had a really nice debut from a couple Michigan defensive ends with Aiden Hutchinson, really dominated Minnesota. He was just a beast in the ground game, 6'6", 300 pounds, strong at the point of attack, excellent use of his hands and upper body strength, and surprising burst and ability to bend for a defensive end of that size. So he's one to watch that's going to rise this year if he keeps playing like that. And his teammate Quiddy Pay across the other side, he really got after Tanner Morgan, the Minnesota quarterback, had multiple sacks on back-to-back plays actually late in the fourth quarter to help shut that game down. So Pay has really improved his pass rushing moves and versatility. They line him up on the inside. They line him up on the outside. He really moves well and has a lot of speed and a really nice NFL versatile body for a 4-3 defense, which the Jets run, where you could move him inside in the sub package, play him at end on base downs. He's about 6'4", 6'5", 275, and faster and more athletic than you would expect for a defensive end that size. So it's good to see, because in the early going here of this weird college football season, I wasn't seeing a lot of great edge rush talent in the games from the Big 12 and the SEC and ACC. There's a few good edge rushers, but not as many as you would kind of like to see for a draft class. So now that we have the Big Ten coming in and Pac-12, hopefully we get a few more, and that rounds it out into being a solid class.
Any other players we missed at other positions, Charlie?
Well, you know, I think this week there was a few. Rashawn Weaver, the defensive end at Pitt, played well against Notre Dame, even though Pitt got blown out. Weaver really held his own. Notre Dame's left tackle, Liam Eichenberg, is a day two talent, but Weaver really gave him all he could handle. Eichenberg didn't give up any sacks, but Weaver had a ton of pressure, and he should have given up some sacks, but Ian Book bailed out his left tackle with his feet on a few plays. So that was a really nice showing from Weaver. And then otherwise, I think Marvin Jones, the defensive tackle from Florida State, that's really not a big need on the Jets roster. I guess they could consider potentially a nose tackle to go next to Quinn and Williams. But Wilson is really disappointed this year. I spoke with five different teams, and they had him all as a mid-rounder with a grade no higher than a third. A couple other teams thought he might go a little bit higher just based off of reputation and not his play. But some teams aren't enamored with that reputation and say he's a locker room lawyer, which is not a good label to be slapped with if you're a prospect. So I would say he's a guy whose stock is sliding here in 2020. It'll be interesting to see if he can close out the season well, because he has to really turn it on now, because with the way Florida State's losing, you don't see a bowl game, and who knows what the bowl game schedule is even going to look like this year. So it's crunch time for him if he wants to be an early round pick.
Beyond the players, Charlie, we know the Jets are going to be looking for a head coach when the season is over. So I was curious if you're hearing any buzz about any college coaches that could be in the mix. We've heard Matt Campbell's name. PJ Fleck is somebody whose name has been thrown around, maybe Ryan Day. What are you hearing about that?
Well, I've heard some of the same names. I've also heard Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma for a few years now as being, you know, if a team kind of went the Kingsbury route in a way, or Matt Rhule with the Panthers. So I think his name would definitely be in there. I've also heard Dabo Swinney regarding Houston and reuniting him with Deshaun Watson. I'm not sure that when push comes to shove that Swinney would really leave what he's got going there at Clemson. To me, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But at any rate, I have heard his name mentioned in there regarding the Texans. But, you know, I think that could just be because of the Deshaun Watson connection. So those guys definitely, you know, we'll hear more buzz about them in the weeks to come. But I don't think there's a college coach that necessarily has everyone kind of on fire around the league is making a jump to the NFL.
Last order of business, Charlie. Full slate of games this weekend, which, by the way, you can bet on right now at MyBookie. In addition to NFL and all kinds of other events, no shortage of games to watch and thousands of lines available on all your favorite sports and events. So you can turn your game viewing experience into a payday with MyBookie. Sign up at MyBookie, and when you do, use the promo code OVERTIME to claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. You can bet on games, you can bet on futures, you can bet on all kinds of fringe sports, combat sports too, boxing, MMA, whatever you want. You get a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start on your winning season. Don't forget to use promo code OVERTIME to claim your bonus when you make your first deposit. And Charlie, if they're going to bet on these games, it would be good for them to know which games to keep an eye on and which players to keep an eye on. So this weekend, which games should people be watching and which players should they be paying extra special attention to?
Well, this game, I can give you a game in each time slot here. So at noon next Saturday, Georgia, Kentucky. Now, this game doesn't have necessarily a lot of high first rounders, but there's on the NFL team's preseason watch list, this game has a ton of guys that the advanced scouts put on there. Kentucky had 7, Georgia had 8. So you have 15 players that the advanced scouts thought had draftables. So that game at noon on the SEC network, you're going to see some future NFL players going head to head on that group. The top ones I'd really watch are Richard LeConte, the safety at Georgia, Tyson Campbell, Georgia cornerback, Azeez Ojulari, the edge rusher, outside linebacker at Georgia. Those guys have played really well this year. At 4 p.m., Texas and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has some players that have helped themselves, and cornerback Rodarius Williams. Right tackle Tevin Jenkins has been kind of up and down, depends who you ask in terms of the scout, whether they like him or not. Chuba Hubbard, running back, is a talented runner, but his blocking has looked awful at the beginning of the season, so that's something that really needs to change for the NFL. And Tylan Wallace, the receiver, has played pretty well. Texas left tackle Sam Cosmi could be a first-round pick. So that'll be a good game to watch from Big 12 action. And then you have Mississippi State and Alabama on Saturday night. I'm sure Alabama will blow them out, but you do have some good draft matchups with Mississippi State wideout Osiris Mitchell going against Surtain. That'll be a nice test for Surtain, as Mitchell is kind of a shifty speed receiver. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how Surtain handles that matchup. And then in the ground game, Errol Thompson, the Mississippi State linebacker, is a big, thick run stuffer. He'll take on a tough runner, and Najee Harris. And then Dylan Moses, the Alabama linebacker, could be a first-round pick, really good athlete, fast, plays well in coverage. He's going to be tested by that Mike Leach passing offense. So this will be a really good tape to see, you know, his pass coverage skills for the NFL, which is critical for him to be a first-round pick. And then lastly, Ohio State and Penn State. Ohio State, once again, is just loaded in NFL talent. Penn State might not be as strong as they have been in recent years for this draft, but they still have three defensive backs that were on the NFL, or two defensive backs, I'm sorry, that were on the NFL team's preseason watch list. So that's a better secondary than what Justin Fields and Ohio State sees in a typical week. So it'll be interesting to see how he and Olave handle that Penn State defense.
One of the best at analyzing the draft process, Charlie Campbell of WalterFootball.com. Thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Great insight, and I'm looking forward to doing more of these over the next couple of months because there's a long lead up to the draft, and as we said, the Jets have a lot of draft capital. This is going to be a very important draft for them, so we want to get as much information as possible. And beyond these reports, obviously, you do this full-time for WalterFootball.com. Talk a little bit about how people can find your work and what you're currently working on.
Yeah, I'm doing weekly stock reports, doing a big board. I update my mock draft every week. It's two rounds right now, but by draft day, it'll be all seven rounds. I have position rankings for the prospects getting updated every week, previews for people to zero in on. And then I have, hot press articles going up on how teams are grading these players. So constant coverage going up there at Walter Football. You can follow me on Twitter at Draft Campbell. And you can follow our YouTube channel of Walter Football as I put up videos and mocks there as well. So we got all the draft coverage you could ever want and help you with.
Make sure that you're following Charlie on Twitter and checking out his fantastic work over at WalterFootball.com. If you haven't given us a five-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and TurnOnTheJets.com.